Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
All right, everybody, all right. Let's kick it old school.
Pistol!
Whoops. That's not what I wanted to play. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the global community of South Cars. This is the Thursday night thematic open forum for Thursday, November 5th, 2009. South Cars TNT is a directed public service open forum whose aim is to share the collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things. We're a group of dynamic radio amateurs who invite you to gather with us every Thursday night on this server, which is made available by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network, and we thank our friend Mike for that. Here, a different topic will be discussed every week, but actually this week is our open forum. So a series of different topics will be discussed in a roundtable fashion. We'll throw out the questions. I'll actually introduce the panel to you guys in a second, and we'll ask everybody their 2 cents worth, and then we'll open it up for general comments. And we have a whole list of interesting topics here that just seem to fall out of my head through the many holes that exist there. Your net control for this evening is me, Pete, Victor Echo 2, X-Ray Papa Lima, and I hail from beautiful Montreal. Actually, I hail from New Brunswick, but I live in Montreal now. Temperature tonight is 4 degrees Celsius, 40 degrees Fahrenheit under partly cloudy skies, and I'm gathering it's going to snow here in the next couple of days. It's really felt like that. They haven't forecasted it, but it just feels like snow. Biting cold, although I'm loving it. It's great walking weather, I must admit. So a few announcements. We still need you guys to send us emails with your inputs, suggestions for topics, comments. Tell us you like us. Tell us you hate us. Give us suggestions. We're open to everything. If you have a topic of interest you want to share, we invite you to submit that topic, and it will be discussed. Contact us at voip@southcars.com. We are recording this podcast. We're recording this open forum for a future podcast, and we invite you to visit our website, www.voip.southcars.com, and look for the South Cars VOIP podcast link at the left of the page. So we have a whole bunch of topics to discuss tonight, so I'll keep the intro short. Let me introduce the panel tonight. The panel is going to be the same as it was last month, if you remember. Mr. Gordon, KY6V, is with us. W8RAT, John, is returning, and K4JAK, Jack, who you've been hearing. And at this time, I would like to, we have a special mystery guest tonight, so we have a fifth panel member. I'll be one of the panel members, of course, Pete, VE2XPL. And at this time, I would like our special secret panelist to come forward and introduce himself, please. Over to you.
Well, good evening, Pete. Good evening, everybody on the South Cars Network tonight. If I didn't get my emails crossed up, I believe this evening I'm qualifying as the mystery guest, and glad to be aboard and part of the forum. Didn't do a lot of research or study for the questions tonight, so we're going to shoot from the hip from this end. And my name is Mike, and my call sign KB8ZGL, Kilowatt Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, from Greenville, Michigan, middle of lower Michigan, where it's a balmy about 36 degrees right now. So hopefully you'll hear me all right via IRLP, but if we have any problems, I do have the desktop client standing by. So good evening, and thanks for inviting me. Back to you, Pete, V2XPL, KB8ZGL.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for being here. Mike's triumphant return. Mike was our guest speaker last September 17th, where he discussed the SCARS conference server. And so we thank you for being here yet again, and we're thrilled to have you aboard. Mike, who is freshly back from a vacation. So, and don't worry, we hear you perfectly well, so everything is great there. And you can shoot from the hip, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. I've prepared the questions, but I haven't had any time to give the answers any thought. So we'll see how that goes. So if everybody's ready, I'll take a short pause. Actually, at this time, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anyone wishing to contact the station and move off for their QSO. Perfect. No emergency traffic is good traffic. So with that, let's get going. So tonight we'll be discussing a whole bunch of subjects, a whole bunch of thoughts, and we'll be doing it in a roundtable fashion. And we invite everybody who's listening to participate, because the more the merrier, as I like to say. So with that, let's begin. Our first question or topic will be homebrew. Everybody knows what homebrewed equipment is. Some of us have played with it. Others maybe have not. So my first question to you guys, and that'll be a good way to break the ice and get to learn a little bit of about our panelists, is what have you homebrewed in your shack? Does it work? And explain your homebrewing successes and failures. So since Mike has freshly joined us, we'll get him to start. KB8ZGL, over to you.
Well, thanks, Pete. Nothing like the first question right off the bat, but very good, KB8ZGL. My South Cars number for the record, Echo 0039, if that's needed. And as far as home brewing goes, I will tell you, I am the worst person in the world when it comes to a soldering iron or a soldering gun. I couldn't tell you the first bit about what appropriate heats are, and if you saw some of my BB9 connections, you would shudder. And I shudder myself and occasionally even break them, but I've done a few different projects over the years. I built several kits from Tapper for Packet. I built several of the Ramsey kits over the years that I picked up at the Dayton Hamvention in Ohio, and my latest homebrew project is an actual homebrew D-Star repeater, full-fledged three-band D-Star repeater at this point, and that's all operating on homebrew equipment. While the PC board design was done by somebody else, all the components were ordered, and with some assistance from many amateurs out there, we got it all put together and wired up, and that's been a lot of fun. So I'm not opposed to kits, but to be honest, I'm much more of a, if it's available, I'd prefer to buy it and pre-made and pre-test it. I don't know if I'm supposed to pass it on to the next guest or back to you, Pete. I'll pass it back to you for now. V2XPL, KBAZFU.
Yeah, roger that. Excellent. Thanks for that. I love kits as well. I like to homebrew a little bit, although I'm not that proficient at it either. Kits are a great way to get in. I think the kits are a great way to get introduced to homebrewing and maybe see what it's like, see what it's all about. So I'm certainly not against them. Au contraire, I think they're wonderful. And we don't have an official way to proceed, so maybe we can just pick an order right now, and rather than everybody passing it to me every single time, it'll be a little bit more efficient and more interesting and have a better flow, perhaps, if we could just go around the table, if you gentlemen are all for that. So let me see. Let's go. We'll keep you in number one spot, Mike. How's that? And then we'll go by what I believe to be ham radio experience, and I'll go last. So I guess we'll go with John is number two, Jack is number three, and Gordon is number four, and I will be number five. So unless anyone has any objections, pick it up, John. W8RAT.
Well, good evening, everyone on the net. My homebrewing experience of W8RAT, by the way, is limited at this point in time. I do have a homebrew that I have not tried yet. It is a 40-meter only double bazooka coax antenna that I have not tried yet. It is here, it is put together, but have not tried it. The only other home brewing that I've actually done is when I first got started and first put my tower up, I built my own tilt base for my tower. I went and looked at one that another gentleman had and then come up with my own design and did that, But other than that, a lot of home brewing as far as radio equipment or packet or PSK. I haven't even got into that yet. Again, I'm a new hammer, freshly into this, but trying to get into every aspect that I can when time and money allows me. So the only other thing that I've homebrewed is a lift to put my antennas and stuff on, to raise and lower the antennas on the outside of the tower instead of having them fixed into the tower. I come up with a design and a little shop here to build a couple of them, and that's about the extent of my home brewing. Like I said, new at this, so that's going to come. With time, I'll be, because I'm one of those that do like to build. I do like to try and do whatever I can. Jack, K4JK, I got something I'm going to be building for him. I got the material to build it for him. You know, I'm always doing little projects like multiple radio mounts for vehicles, to be able to put multiple radios in one place all together in a nice, compact, neat little fashion there. So that's what we'll be doing for K4JAK real soon. And that's about the extent of my home brewing, W8RAT. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember who was third there. So I'm going to guess that I think it was... I'm not sure. I think it was Gordon. Gordon, KY6V. Was it you?
No, I think his call, thank you, John, but I think it goes over to Jack. Jack, go ahead and you pass it to me, sir, KY6V.
All right, no problem, guys. Good evening. Thank you, John, Gordon, Pete, Mike. Read the text box there, John. Yeah. As far as home brewing goes, I don't really have anything here in the shack that I have... that I've homebrewed. I'm relatively new ham myself. Still green. Had to take a little over a year. Let's say a year and probably, I don't know, probably 18 months, 17 months, something like that. I have a ticket. So, but as far as that goes, a little homebrewing in the truck. I have basically designed a mount there in my truck that I have. At the moment, two radios attached to. Third one will be attached to it once we finish getting it the final touches on it. Let's put it that way. We're finalizing it, finessing it, as you might want to call it. And John's helping me with that. We'll get it all said and done. But I've done a couple of these mounts for other friends, and they've put their radios on it, and some extra speakers, and this and that. So. I think it's something to think about nowadays, because especially on your newer vehicles, there's nowhere to put anything. you know, and you've got to come up with some way to do something and not damage this or damage that, you know. So, you know, we try. We really do try. The only other thing I've actually homebrewed mobile antenna for my 2-meter on the truck, and which I can't complain about. It works from... I talked to the Fort Pierce repeater from Orlando and West Palm Beach, so I think it works out pretty good. I don't have a problem there, so it does me wonders. I'm happy with it. I get good compliments on it. Other than that, there's nothing really here in the shack that I do home brew. I play with little microphones every once in a while. I've taken guts out of one or two and put in another, and it worked out pretty good, but... that was all on the 11-meter side when I was doing the CB hot and heavy. So nothing actually since I've gotten into the ham as far as experimenting with the microphones or this or that, because I don't really want that particular sound into the ham radio aspect of it that was into the CB side of it. I want the clean audio. Don't need the loud blaring audio to get over all the garbage, because that we don't have up here. And with that said, we will pass it on to Mr. KY6Z from K4JAK.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jack. Good evening, everybody. Gordon, KY6V here. And a special big hello to you, Mike. I'm just so tickled that you're with us tonight. You know, this guy Pete up there in Montreal likes to play things under the vest, and he won't tell anybody who's who until the appointed moment. So I'm tickled pink to have you, Mike. Well, Pete, to try to answer your question, it's a little difficult, only in the respect that I've been around too long, I think. I'm working on my 60th year of being an amateur, and I started at the age of 12 when the thing was to build your own equipment, not to buy it. And I did that. You know, my first radio was a schematic that I pulled out of the ARRL handbook. It was an 807 in the final. It was an AMCW rig, 25 watts, 6N7 modulators for plate modulating the 807, and plug-in coils and the whole nine yards. I had a lot of fun building it, and it worked great. And then I turned around, and out of a schematic from the ARRL handbook, I built my own first Super Heterodyne receiver. And that was plug-in coils, too. You know, when you change from 40 to 80 or 10 meters or whatever, you'd reach in, you'd bud cabinets, the whole nine yards, you'd open up the little trap door at the top, reach in there, yank the coils out, put the other set in, and go to town. Since then, I've built an awful lot of things. I built a Class B linear HF amplifier as the years rolled on with a pair of 250 THs in it. Now, I'm not sure that too many people remember the 250 THs, but that was also the bottle that was used in the old World War II BC-610s. And then just a lot of little things as the years went on, so, you know, not worthy of really getting into. One of the interesting projects, I acquired the tank coil out of a KWAM broadcast commercial transmitter. And this thing had a sliding driven tap on it where you could just crank where you wanted to end up on this coil. And this thing was a beast. It was about 8 inches in diameter, and it wasn't wire, you know. The coil was made out of copper stock that was a quarter of an inch thick. And I turned that baby into an antenna tuner for HF with its appropriate capacitors and so on, and I still have that. In fact, I still have the original 12-year-old put-them-together radios, too. They're in a box someplace stored, which I haven't seen in a while, but I know that I've got them. So it just went on and on. I've had an awful lot of fun. Nowadays, I feel sorry for a lot of the newcomers that are coming around because the opportunity for this kind of thing is not there as much as it has been in the past. Everything is solid-state microchip design. You talk about the temperatures, Mike, of what iron you're going to use, you know.
Well. It happens again. Gordon has timed out. Ha, ha, ha. Give him a chance to reset there, and I'll tell you my story, and then we'll give Gordon another chance to come back. Oh, that is just precious. sorry, that's just too funny. All right, so we had Mike, KB8ZGL, who is a fan of kits, and who's Mike probably homebrews a lot more on the programming side, and I should have been more specific, because I think that homebrewing could take all forms. Homebrewing things in your shack could mean that you're homebrewing your own shelves. You know, you put up your shelves, you design them. Well, that's kind of a homebrew project. I like the John and Jack's idea of multiple radio mounts for the cars, because indeed, I drive a Ford Focus, and there's a lot of room in the back. It's a wagon, but there's nothing There's nothing in the front for the radio. I actually homebrewed myself. I took the I don't smoke, so I took the ashtray out, and I homebrewed a mount to stick into the ashtray where I could put the plate for my 2-meter radio. So that's a little bit of a homebrew project there. I homebrewed a bracket for the antenna in the back because I don't like to put unnecessarily holes in my car when I don't have to. I really like the idea, Jack and John again, of the that was John, I guess, W8RAT, with the antenna lift up and down. You guys will have to send me schematics for these things because it sounds interesting. And Gordon, who's been homebrewing rigs and all kinds of things, Gordon says, you know, it's true that New Hampshire, they don't have the opportunity, but I think a lot of it was really out of necessity, too, back in the day. People didn't have the money, perhaps, to buy the ready-made rigs and go out and get parts, and it was part of the excitement, I agree. So other things that I've homebrewed, I like to homebrew antennas. I haven't homebrewed any rigs, and I probably won't do that for a while, although I've got some plans that I'm looking at. Things like the Michigan Mighty Mite and little things like that you guys might have heard of. But I really like antennas, quarter wave ground planes, dipoles, and J-poles. I love antennas. I love everything about antennas, radiation and propagation, and that's what I have. I don't have a single bot antenna. Actually, the only bot antenna that I have, one is on my HT, and I've actually homebrewed an antenna from my HT as well that works way better than the one I've bought. And I have a store-bought antenna, a 2-meter antenna on for my car, just because it just looks better. But on the house, I have a quarter-wave ground plane and a J-pole for 2-meter, and that's what I have. Let me pause for a sec before I time out. And two other things that I've homebrewed. In my final year of technical school, I built a 3-30 megahertz 200-watt linear amplifier. Me and my lab partner at the time, and unfortunately, he ended up with it. I lost the coin toss and never built another one. And I used to homebrew cameras because I'm a photographer, as many of you may know. I've built a bunch of pinhole cameras, which are a lot of fun. So let's see if Gordon can come back to us there. Over to you, KY6V.
I don't think I should. Thanks, Pete. You know, the irony of all of this, and I really think it's funny, is, and Mike is probably sitting back chuckling, I was the guy that said, hey, Mike, let's set this server for 240 seconds, and look what happened. At any rate, continue, Pete, KY6V.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we certainly won't get through the whole list. Let's open it up. Does anybody have any homebrew projects, interesting successes or failures that you guys want to share with us? Come on aboard, South Coast community. The mic is yours. All right, they're warming up to us. All right, next subject, and we'll do it again in the same order. I'll be starting with Mike, KB8ZGL, W8RAT number 2, then over to Jack, then over to Gordon, and I'll finish it up again. Amusing anecdotes from the log. Have you guys had anything quirky or funny that have happened to you over the course of your QSOs in the past? Over to you, Mike, KB8ZGL.
Well, Pete, don't have anything real quirky in the logbook, KBAZGL. And the only thing I guess I can touch on, being we're on a voiceover IP tonight, is when I fell in love with voiceover IP was right shortly after I got my ticket, probably a couple of years after, and I was listening to a local repeater by the Mackinac Bridge up in Mackinac City. I was on vacation. And I heard them having a conversation from Mackinac to Florida, from Michigan to Florida, and my interest in voiceover IP technologies and tying radios to computers has not left since. So I guess it's not really quirky, but for me it was a moment in the hobby that I won't forget, and I don't remember the calls. They're not really in the book. I don't really, I know which repeater it was in Michigan and what technology they were using at the time, I don't know. Never did find out, but it's probably one of the better memories I have over the years of interesting contacts. And I spoke to somebody in Florida that day, and I thought it was the most exciting thing I had ever done. And from there, it's grown into many, many things. That's all I got. Nothing real good on that one. Go ahead, John, KBAZGL, and I'll have to listen better for your call. I know it's W8-something. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
We appreciate that, KB8ZGL, and it's really a pretty easy one there. It's RAT. W8RAT, R-A-T. Me and Ira was talking about that last night a little bit after the net there, the Australian connection. But anyway, don't have a whole lot with that, but I do have a little quick story about a gentleman that had his truck worked on where I work. This was kind of a neat little thing, and the way it happened was just kind of weird. But he come in there with a nice rig in his truck there, and I seen the mount for the antenna on the side of his truck, and actually was working on a truck, opened the back door, and lo and behold, there set a big old Tar Heel antenna. And at this point in time, I was thinking about putting something in and on my truck to have an HF rig in there. So I found out that the gentleman was in the customer lounge. Went and found him and talked to him. Asked him what exactly he was running. Excuse me. And we had a nice little conversation. Well, come to find out, his wife actually works for Sunrise Ford and has worked for Sunrise Ford for a long time. And I was like, well, I'll be darned. So I met her, and you know, he went on his way, and about 2 weeks later, sitting here kind of light one night, and I'm just on Echolink. I'm not checked in the South Card server at the time, and somebody connects to me. And I was like, huh, I've never seen that call before. So I'm sitting there, and finally I key down, and I say, good evening, W8RAT, you know. And he comes back, and he says, you know, I'm just trying to figure this Echolink thing out, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. We talked for a little while, and next thing I know, he says, yeah. He started talking about his mobile, you know, he had what equipment he had, what equipment I had. And he started telling me about his black F-150 that he's got with a Tar Heel antenna mounted on the back and, you know, a smart cube and what radio. And I'm like, yeah, dadgum. I said, that's really weird. I said, I just met a gentleman here recently at Sunrise Ford that had that same equipment in a black F-150, just like what you're explaining to me. And he's like, really? Well, turns out it's the gentleman that I talked to. I don't know why and how, but he clicked on my call, and he said he didn't know me from Adam, but he just checked it out. And I'll be darned if it wasn't him. That's just a quick little story that I got. And again, you know, me being fairly new to this, don't have a whole lot of amusing things, but that was pretty amusing for me. And out of all the people that is on Echolink, you know, how did he come across me just like that? I thought that was pretty cool. And that's about all I really got. So I appreciate it. Pete, this is a whole lot of fun, and before I get called a bucket mouth and exceed my key down time, excuse me, I'm going to turn it over to K4JAK, W8RAT.
Thank you, John. I don't know who in the world would call you a bucket mouth. Man, well, I don't know about that, K4JAK. Well, I really don't have anything spectacular or anything. I did make a hookup one day on Echolink, though. I was just cruising the index, and I just happened to see this Marion, Indiana on there, and that's where I went to school at. I was born here in Jacksonville, but grew up, went to school in Marion, Indiana. I just happened to see Marion on there, so I clicked on it and got to talking to the guy. I didn't know the guy. But come to find out, he knows my family. He knew my uncle. He knows my godparents. Well, when they were alive, he knew them. But it turned out to be a pretty interesting, just proof of a small world, I think, about what it amounts to. Knew some of the people I knew, but like I said, personally, I'd never met him. But it was real interesting. It really was. We had a real good conversation. I think we talked for about a little over an hour and a half, just talking about the town. And, well, I remember this was here, and he goes, oh, no, not anymore. Now it's this, and oh, that's not there anymore. You know, that's gone. And, man, stuff sure does change in 35 years, you know. But that's about the way it goes. But other than that, I don't really have a whole lot to, like I said, being how I'm new in it, I don't have a whole lot of amusing items yet. As the years go on, I'm sure I will accumulate them, but for right now, I think we better leave that to Mr. KY6V. I imagine he's got pages and pages and pages of them, so I will pass it to him, Mr. KY6V from K4JAK.
Well, I don't know about the pages and pages, but thank you very much, Jack. KY6V here. And the memory's getting short, you know, the older I get. I don't know about quirky or funny, Pete, but I will say that I've had a lot of experience through the years, interesting experiences. Some were fun and some were very serious in nature, you know. And the serious ones were pretty much logged, I might add. But, you know, I've worked stations in air balloon mobiles and bicycle mobiles and aeronautical mobiles and shuttles going into orbit and coming out of orbit, and worked a whole bunch through the years of major and minor emergency communication. You know, such things as the favorite one that I like to talk about is I was on 20 meters and got a hold of a boat that had lost power, lost rudder, was adrift just off the waters of Cuba, yelling for the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard was not responding. And so I got a hold of the Coast Guard. I was down in Miami at this point. They came up on frequency, and I was the active liaison between the boat. The boat couldn't hear the Coast Guard. Coast Guard couldn't hear the boat. And so I was relaying between these two guys, and they got a cutter down there, and they got him pulled off before he got into Cuban waters. So, you know, that was one of the things. Let me buy a nickel here. I think that's one of your questions. And, you know, we went through and worked Hurricane Andrew. I've worked earthquakes in California. I've worked bad weather condition situations in Alaska, and, you know, on and on it goes. So that's not necessarily quirky or funny, but you put them all together, that's amateur radio. KY6V, back to you, Pete.
Yeah, very good. Interesting indeed. Interesting array of stories there. I think everybody has their experiences. I guess you guys are leaving it up to me to, as you guys know, I'm not afraid to stick my foot in my mouth, and I do it regularly. My initial story was when I first got involved in amateur radio, you know, freshly licensed, I got my first HT rig, tuned into the local repeater and started transmitting, and everybody was wondering why I sounded so horrible and distant, and some people couldn't hear me. And you know, you'd think I would have known this, but I didn't have any offsets programmed into the rig. So some of the people who were close enough to hear me on the output frequency could, and the people who couldn't, and that's the way it was. But an even funnier thing that happened to me on the air, and Gordon will vouch for this because he's the one who caught me. This was a couple of weeks ago. The link station that I have, I also use as my regular transmit station, which I'm transmitting through right now. So right now I have a PTT going, but when I have the link station running, I run on Vox. And I had the Vox turned on, and didn't realize that my mic, this mic right here, was still live running through the mixer. And I was running around with my kids, making a fool of myself like I always do. We like to have fun with the kids. They're running around, and Isabel, my oldest kid, was chasing me and ran into the shack, turned around, and sat down on the chair and broke into song, just started singing. I can't remember what I was singing. And, of course, as I sang, the Vox activated, and I transmitted my melodious voice to everyone who was listening that day on South Cars. And next thing I knew, Gordon comes on and doesn't say anything. All he does is, you know, activates PTT and laughs. And I knew right away that I was busted. So that's my quirky story. So with that, let's turn it over to the general public, if anybody dares. Does anybody have any amusing anecdotes that they'd like to share with us? Any funny stories or any other things from the log that you guys want to share with us? Come on aboard now. Yeah, I didn't think so. Nobody wants to share those types of stories. I'm the only one who's going to actively make a fool of myself. And I promise you guys that I will keep entertaining you throughout my career. I've done it in the past, and I'm going to do it in the future. That's the way it goes. My next two questions will be directed specifically because they're actually, Gordon said it. Next question is, what is meant by buying a nickel? And I'm going to turn it over to Gordon because he's the one whose expression it is. So come on back, Gordon. What is meant by buying a nickel? Over to you.
Well, you know, I can't lay claim to that. I picked it up along the course of the travel someplace. KY6V here. Basically, it's meaning buying additional time so that you can continue without timing out a repeater. You know, if a repeater is set, let's say, for a three-minute timeout, and you talk too long, just like I did earlier, you get chopped off. So as you know intuitively that you're getting close to that magic moment, you say, excuse me, I'm going to buy a nickel. You drop your carrier, come back on, you keep on talking. Depending on how many nickels you are, you've got, why, you can just keep on going. Make that a similarity to a payphone, if you will, Pete. Put your money in and talk your time. And if you run out of time, you got to put more quarters, dimes, or nickels or something in it. Last payphone I saw was 50 cents. Can you believe? Go ahead, Pete, KY6V.
Yeah, roger that. It's actually cheaper up here. It's only 35 cents. It used to be a quarter. It was so convenient when payphones were a quarter. You reached into your pocket, and you put a quarter in and made a phone call. I never have any dimes on me. I try to make a phone call. It's like, I mean, that's before the advent of cell phones, of course. Now I just whip my cell phone out. It's a lot easier. But in between, you know, between cell phones and payphones being a quarter, they upped it to 35 cents, and that just totally messed me up. Thanks a lot, Gordon. Appreciate the explanation. The next question comes from Gordon and is pretty much directed to me because I don't think anybody can answer this one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but Gordon's question, why does Pete say the moose is loose? What is the moose's name? What color is he or she? How big? Pet or wild? Licensed or unlicensed? And who is responsible for its care? And Gordon says that I come up with some good questions. Well, the moose is loose. I just like that expression because it rhymes. The moose is a very well-known Canadian symbol, of course. We have many mooses up here. They're very large, majestic animals that you don't really want to tangle with. You don't want to meet them in dark alleys. Why do I say it? I just like the expression. And actually, where did I pick it up? Strangely, I picked that expression up in Old Orchard Beach. Yeah, yes, indeed, Old Orchard Beach. It was on a T-shirt. The moose is loose in Old Orchard Beach. And I don't know how that came about. There are a lot of moose in Maine as well. So it was on a T-shirt, and I always liked that expression. What color is the moose? Well, he's probably brown. Is he a boy or girl? I have no idea. I've never been close enough to look. How big? Well, they're pretty huge. Pet or wild? Well, I'd have to say wild on that. And licensed or unlicensed? Well, it depends on whether you're a hunter or not. And who's responsible for its care? I have no idea. So with that, we'll bring it back to the round table here. For my next question, and here you go, and you guys, I keep hearing you guys say, yeah, I'm new at this, I'm a new ham, blah, blah, blah. But you guys, new or old, experienced or not, everybody can answer this. If you could give only one piece of advice to a new ham radio, to a newcomer, what would that piece of advice be? So let's go back to Mike, KB8ZGL. This is the TNT Open Forum.
Well, thanks, Pete. This is Mike, KB8ZGL. And that was one I did notice in the email. And I put a lot of thought into it for a little while, actually. I had a lot of thoughts, and I was really wondering what would somebody have said to me that would have maybe pushed me in the right direction or different things. And so I guess my one thought is, if I had to speak with the new hams or somebody that's just becoming a ham, is that we got to remember that amateur radio was built and designed, and the licensing is all for experimentation. And I don't know how many times over the years, as a young amateur and now an older, slightly older amateur, only 30 years old, I won't make myself sound too old, but now having some time in the field and upgrading and doing different things, what I would stress is that amateur radio is experimentation. People are going to make mistakes, people are learning, and to not try and not fail is not utilizing the hobby to its fullest extent. And the reason I say that is because I've heard many times naysayers and armchair quarterbacks or whatever you want to call them. But in the end, just because it's the way it was always done, it's the way it is done, or somebody thinks it's the way it should be done, doesn't necessarily mean that in this hobby, it's the only way it can be done. And so what I would stress to a new ham is that it's experimental. We're here to learn. Some of the greatest things and greatest discoveries in this world, I believe, have come out of amateur radio. It's driven many of us into our career paths, and that's my two cents. Don't give up. Fight through, learn, experiment, and don't worry about failing. We've all done it. Go ahead, John. W8RAT. You're right, it's easy. W8RAT. KB8ZGL.
I appreciate that, Mike. KB8ZGL. W8RAT. And I agree with you 100%. And me, like I said, being one that likes to build and get my hands right in there and try and figure things out and how to make this work or how to make that work. Yeah, that's a really good piece of advice is to, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you try again. Another piece of advice would probably be do what I do. I talk to people. I ask a lot of questions. My motto is I would much rather make or ask a stupid question than make a stupid mistake. So I asked a lot of questions. I talked to a lot of, the elderly fellows there that I know have been doing it for a long time. It just makes sense to me as to, you know, everybody has their own little ways of doing things. And what I try and do is go and find out what their views are on what I'm thinking about doing and talk to several of them and, you know, kind of take from each one what I think that I can use and put it to use in my own way. And again, if you know, like you said, if you fail, don't be afraid to try something a little bit different. Try it again. You know, that's the way. That's like you said. That is the way amateur radio is. And through experimentation throughout all these years is how amateur radio has gotten to be where it is right now, and that's what makes it what it is. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to K4JAK from W8RAT. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, thank you, John. W8RAT, this is K4JAK, and I've got to agree with everything both of you said. No question there. And I am the same way. I like to ask my questions, and I'll take a little from here and a little from there and a little from over there, and I'll put it all together. And like you said, I'll figure out my easiest way for me to do it, easiest or best way, and I'll do it that way. But the only other thing I could add is patience. You know, a little bit of patience goes a long way, even in this hobby. You know, I know you want to get your ticket, and oh, you're all excited and want to jump right in, you know, with both feet. That's cool. You know, that's cool. Go ahead and do it. But when it starts, when you start putting things together and trying to make this work and trying to make this work off of that or, you know, work your antennas or whatever, patience. You know, you got to remember patience. You know, slow and easy. Slow and easy gets a whole lot more done than 150 mile an hour hitting it hard. You know, slow and easy, because you got to set that pace. But patience. You know, look at it, think about it, work it. And it may not work the first time. It may not work the second time. It may not work the third or fourth time. But it is going to work. You know, but you got to have the patience. You got to look at it. You know, okay, it didn't work. Why? You know, and you check it. Oh, okay, I've got what I need here. I got what I need here. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. That's what you got to do. That's where the patience comes in. You got to take the time to look at it, and then take the time to enjoy it once you do get it figured out. And with that, I'll pass it to Mr. KY6Z from K4JAK.
Thanks, Jack. KY6Z here. I was smiling when you said that, the patience situation. You know, we had a saying in the broadcast industry that I came out of that patience was very important, because when you ran into a problem, the saying went that 99% of the time it was the last thing that you did, that you did. Well, getting back to Pete's original question here, I think I would have started out by saying have fun to the new guy or gal. Be yourself, but be polite to others. And it's sort of ironic because I had put an experiment along the way, and Mike covered that very nicely. I think the point here is that if everybody sat back and thought about it for a little bit, and maybe even took the trouble to identify some of the areas, ham radio, amateur radio, has contributed in many ways to the cutting edge of our current technology. It came out of the ham arena. Not all of it, but some of it. And I think that's something to be proud of. VE2XBL from KY6V.
Wow. Most excellent advice from all of you guys, new and old. And I'm sorry, I just got to come back for a second and ask Mike, KB8ZGL, did you say that you're 30 years old? Back to you.
Oh, roger that, Pete. I just turned 30 in October. That is correct. So, first licensed in 1996. So we're working up there, but yes, that's correct. V2XPL KBAZGL.
Wow, that's a whole lot of knowledge. I had you pegged for like a 60-year-old guy. You seem to know so much about what you're doing. That's awesome. Very cool. I was licensed in 95 when I was 30. So, that's great. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I'm just in shock. I thought you were much older than you are. Your experience speaks of many years of experience. So thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot for that. Great advice from everyone. Mike, KB8ZGL, experimentation. Don't be afraid to fail. Words of wisdom there. That, you know, indeed, if you don't try, and you don't keep trying, you won't get ahead. John, ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. Jack, be patient. Life knowledge as well. Life advice as well. And Gordon, have fun. Be yourself and be polite. Also, used in ham radio, used in life. And my advice is pretty much the same to everyone. Could be used in ham radio and can be used in your life. And it's simple. It's one word. Listen. Just listen. When you're new on the radio, get on there and listen. See how it's done. Listen to those who have come before you. Listen to those who know. Listen to your elders. Just listen to people. You know, we tend to talk a lot. I know I like to talk a lot. But, you know, in our society, everything moves so fast, and we don't always tend to listen sometimes. And there's a lot of wisdom that can be imparted on us if we just take the time, if we're patient, if we're polite, if we ask the question, and then we listen. And after that, we can go off and experiment. So there you go. It's gone full circle. So with that, let's see if any other of our listeners have some words of wisdom that they'd like to impart on us in the group. So let's open it up for the TNT Open Forum. Does anybody out there have any words of advice they'd like to share? Over to you. All right. Well, I guess that's enough wisdom for one round of the round table. Moving right along, let's see. What ham radio operator or technical person, I guess, a ham radio operator might be a little bit pointy for a subject, but what technical or ham radio operator or person do you look up to? Who is your ham radio hero, be he dead or alive? So let's go back to Mike, KB8ZGL.
All right, Pete. Well, hopefully some other people feel like jumping in there. Otherwise, it's to get to know the those of us that are on the panel tonight, but fun nonetheless. And again, thanks for the time, and hope everybody's enjoying KDAZGL. Well, I have my mentor, I guess, that at least got me interested, because a stack of HF radios in a gentleman's basement, his call sign is KB80E, and his son, KB8YEG, who is my age, I would spend hours, countless hours in his basement while everybody else was playing football in the backyard and different things. And I wanted to listen to the radio and tune the HF radios and turn the beams. And that's where I fell in love with amateur radio. And he brought my father and I, who my dad is KB8ZGK. We were licensed on the same day, although I did beat him on the test. I had no questions wrong. He had one wrong, and we got our no-code text. So a little piece of trivia, I guess. But Paul, KB8OE, and his son took us to Dayton, Ohio for the hamvention for 2 years before I got licensed. I got licensed right there my third year. But right before I got down there, I was calling from Dayton Hamvention to get my call sign, which it is still today the same. In fact, that's my earthly hero, and I also have a non-earthly hero, I guess. I think Richard Gratiot has done leaps and bounds for this hobby, and with his time on the International Space Station, him and his father, and their contributions to education to the world, and listening to that guy speak at Dayton Hamvention, and if you get listen to his DVDs or different things, I think he's absolutely a lead spokesman for our hobby, and so I call him a non-earthly hero because he made it off this earth and played amateur radio in the sky. What fun! So there's my mentor and my hero. So in the hobby. go ahead there, John, W8RET, KBAZGL.
Well, I don't know that I have any one person that I could call a mentor. Mentor, there's only one person that comes to mind, and that's a friend of mine here locally, Port St. Lucie, by the name of Claus. He's kind of helped me and directed me a little bit. He actually put me on the computer for the first time when I told him I was thinking about starting to study for a technician's level test there. He, come here, gave me his chair, put me in front of the computer and said, here, start reading these questions, taking this test right here. And just, I said, well, I don't know, I haven't read anything, I don't care, just do it. And that's kind of what got me started. My buddy there, K4JAK, you know, he had gotten his ticket, and another friend of mine, KJ4DUC, Virgil, he had gotten his, and I'm like, man, this is cool. And then I, you know, like I said, with all the questions, I started understanding that unlike 11 meters, if 11 meters isn't working, and that's all you got, you're not talking to anybody. And all these other frequencies that are available, and if one end of the spectrum isn't working, you go to the other end of the spectrum. It will work. Or something in between. So that's what really sparked me. Liking to talk to somebody,
not having the ability to at any time that I want. The other person that I would say would be who impresses me. I've only known him a short period of time, but really impresses me with the patience and the ability to just absolutely make things clear so that you can understand them. And that would be our KY6V. He's just got, he has that broadcast voice. he has the ability to make everyone feel welcome and at home. And I really am impressed by that. So those are the two people that I would say that kind of sparked my interest as far as a mentor and a hero figure, is what I would have to say about those guys. And with that, I'll turn it over to K4JAK from W8RAT.
Thank you, John. K4JAK. I really don't have anybody that I actually looked up to. I know back in the early 70s, when I started hanging around with the CB band. Back then you had to be licensed to get into it. And one of my friends was a ham operator, and that's actually what got me interested anyway, was where he talked and this and that, and really aroused my curiosity. But like I said, I didn't go into ham back then. I went into the CB portion of it, and stayed there up until last year when I got my ticket finally. But there again now, and I have to I have to mention Claus, which John mentioned, and his wife Diana, both helped me tremendously, and it got me pointed in the right direction. Matter of fact, stuck me on the computer the first time to do the testing, and I'm chuckling because I've never had a computer up until then. Matter of fact, the first computer I had is this one, which I bought specifically for Echolink once I got my ham ticket. No experience whatever with it, no exposure to them, and you know, get the question wrong and scratch my head and go, okay, now what do I do here? How do I change it? Do I hit the screen? You know, and, believe me, that's where I learned patience. Oh, there's that word again, patience. But other than that, they showed me the way to go there, and actually got me going. My buddy Virgil, KJ4DUC, he got his first, and that kind of pushed me. I go, man, if my buddy Virgil can do this, I can do it. And I did it. And then I got my general, and Virgil got his. John got his. This is great. You know, we're working. Won't be long. We'll all have our extra here for too long, too. And then again, though, I've got to agree with John on the last part also. I guess Mr. KY6V is going to blush. But I agree with John on how Gordon impresses me also, with his mannerism and his knowledge. And the way he expresses it, he's very easy to read as far as when he's explaining something, it's there. You do understand it. You have no questions whatsoever. He's very good at that, and I would have to leave it with that. And with that, I will pass it to Mr. KY6B from K4JAK.
My goodness gracious. Thank you, gentlemen. KY6B here. Both of you are so kind. I can only think, Pete, that maybe they're both looking for a raise. I feel as though I should put a couple of checks in the mail. But, gentlemen, thank you. To answer your original question, Pete, I'd have to say my father, unequivocally. He was my mentor, besides being my father. He had started his ham career in 1921 with Spark Gap. He was an electronic engineer by profession. He knew what he was doing. He was a perfectionist, too, I might add, in everything that he did, not only amateur radio, but everything. which has its good sides and its bad sides. You know, sometimes I was a little tough on his son, and I say that with a smile on my face. But it was interesting as things evolved, at least for us. The conversation around the dining room table was always electronics. Let me buy a nickel here. And this was night after night after night. And my mother, bless her dear heart, would just sit back and be quiet and take all of this in. And she finally said, "I've had it. That's enough. I'm going to go get my license." And she did. And she came up with K6 Triple E, dit, dit, dit. We called her the dit girl. Morse code E being a dit. My father was W6 ZP, Zulu Papa, Zappy Pappy, what have you. They're both silent keys now. But that was my mentor. He taught me one heck of a lot about how to get into trouble and maybe think about how to get out of it. VE2XPL from KY6V.
Yeah, very good. I kind of had an idea that Gordon was going to... I knew Gordon's answer. I've heard you talk a lot about your father, and with the admiration and respect in your voice, and you've told me before how much you've looked up to him, and I think that's great. There's nothing like having and I think I've told you that, nothing like having a built-in Elmer right to your own house. So, and your mom got her ticket, so that was easy. If she just absorbed it. She took my advice, and she listened, and she learned how to be a technician just from being around you guys, so that's very cool. Jack and John are going to form the KY6V fan club there, and if they're looking for a raise, I suggest, Gordon, that you give them a percentage of what they make now. My ham radio or radio hero is the person who is responsible for us all talking right now. This is Marconi. I look up to Marconi. I think that the work he did was phenomenal. He was interested in electricity. He was a big fan of Heinrich Hertz. And actually had made friends with him. Hertz was much older than him. Heinrich Hertz had done his work much before Marconi. And Marconi actually phoned him up and harassed him one day. Well, didn't phone him up, but contacted him and harassed him one day, and they became good friends. And Marconi continued the work of Hertz. And Marconi was responsible in 1902. He made the first transatlantic radio message, sent the first transatlantic radio message from right here in Canada, from Nova Scotia. And I always thought that was really cool. And if for no other reason, he married an Irish girl whose name was Annie Jameson. And she was the granddaughter of the founder of Jameson's Whiskey. So if for no other reason, he's my hero for that. So with that, let's open her up for questions or comments. TNT Open Forum. Does anybody want to share their thoughts with us on any of the topics that we've discussed so far? Over to you, our dear public. All right, a negative on that. I'm going to skip over the next question because it's just too similar to the last questions, and we'll move right along to banning cell phones while you drive. Banning cell phones while you drive. Is that a good or a bad idea? A number of places around the world are starting to realize that maybe it's a good idea. Here in Quebec and in Ontario and a few other provinces, they've actually banned cell phones from driving. And that has the consequence of also affecting some ham radio and CB equipment, communications equipment. So do you guys feel that it's a good or a bad idea, and why do you feel that way? Banning cell phones while you drive, good or bad? Over to you, Mike, KB8ZGL.
Well, thanks, Pete. Wanted to make sure everything got a second there to recycle, KB8ZGL. And that, for me, Pete, is a tricky subject. Not super tricky. Let me start with this. I have one of those minds that's always working. I'm always thinking about what my next job entails as I'm driving down the road, or what my ham radio project's going to be for the night when I get home, or whatever's on the top of the whiteboard at home. And I think driving time, especially if I'm on the clock for work, is a time to think about the projects that I'm working on or that I'm dealing with. I am not a big cell phone talker. I'm not even a big radio talker when I'm mobile. I prefer that quiet time to think, and I even keep a little notebook by the car seat in case I want to write down an idea that pops into my head. So that probably could be construed as bad and as distracting as driving. But I don't disagree with using cell phones while you drive. I think it's a fair compromise that making Bluetooth a requirement I think is a good thing. The reason I say that is since I've had Bluetooth in my vehicle, if I do have to take an emergency call or a call from work or different things, my driving is a lot less compromised. I know it from experience if I'm on Bluetooth. And well, when you're trying to hold up the cell phone to your ear, it can get really distracting. And text messaging all around while driving, unless you can do it and keep your eyes on the road, I don't believe in it. Now, when it comes to amateur radio, I do enjoy now and then talking, especially in a long trip. I enjoy talking on the radio. I think that much like scanning, a license should buy some privilege. Therefore, I would say that talking on the radio, while it can be distracting, if you can control your radio in a way that's non-distracting and pay attention to your driving, then I don't have a problem with it. I just wish so many of us as drivers get distracted so easily as it is without even having these toys and different things that distract us. You know, there's enough distractions as it is. But I don't think banning it completely is the right answer. I think we need to find safer ways and invent technology, things such as heads-up displays and Bluetooth and other communication methods that will allow us to utilize the technology but utilize it safely. So there's my 2 cents. Did I wish washer off around on that? Overall, I think it's okay. I think we should keep using them. Just be mindful of the situation. Go ahead, John. W8RAT, KBU-GL.
I'm going to jump in real quick here. Don't yell at me, Mike, for not taking a three-second pause. But, the next question is similar. So let's and I'm glad that you brought it up, Mike. But let's include, should we also ban radio, you know, ham radio or CB use while driving? Because that falls into the same category of chatting and holding something in your hands. So, no, that was excellent. That was excellent, Mike. And I agree with you on the texting. Unless you can text without looking at the your QWERTY there, you shouldn't be doing it. So and you're borderline when you're writing notes while you're driving. But hey, maybe you can do it too. I've seen people reading while they're driving, you know, in traffic and no traffic, and that's just a little insane. But yeah, let's expand it to should we ban cell phones? Should we ban ham radio use? And if so, why? And if not, do you have any alternate solutions? So thanks for letting me jump in, John, even though you didn't have a choice. So and over to you, W8RAT.
Hey, no problem. No problem. W8RAT here. I agree a lot with everyone, Pete, you and Mike a lot. The texting is just, that's a little bit much. Cell phone use, yes, I do have Bluetooth. Yes, I do use it sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget it. Sometimes the battery is not charged. Radios. I think I agree with Mike on that also, that, you know, getting that license should give you some privileges. It shows that, you know, you have taken the time to know the ham radio part of it, being someone that would help out in situations, you know, that you're not just some irresponsible person talking on a radio and, you know. So I agree with Mike on the fact that ham radio should give you, that license should give you some privilege. Now, with that said, as far as banning cell phones and stuff like that, they are doing studies now and finding out that having a passenger in your car is almost just as bad as talking on a cell phone. You're constantly looking over at them, talking with them, so on and so forth. So can they ban a passenger in the car? Nah, I don't think so. Cell phone use is, like I said, probably about the same as having a passenger in your car. But definitely the texting thing, that's something that I don't believe should be allowed. And like you said, technology, someone should come up with something so that if you're in a vehicle, texting is void. No more texting. Something in the car, some little computer chip should block that out in some way, somehow there. But, yeah, as far as radios, cell phone, I think if it's done responsibly, eyes on the road, Bluetooth type thing, that is a much, much safer alternative. I know myself being, I work in a very noisy condition in the day. A lot of times when I am on the road, that I do, yeah, Vox texting, there you go. but I do use it while I'm on the road. So, yes to responsible use of cell phones, yes to responsible use of amateur radio equipment, and no to texting. And you can't ban having a passenger in the car. So with that, I'll turn it over to K4JAK, W8RAT. Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you, John. K4JAK. I don't know about banning the cell phones completely. With the Bluetooth, the hands-free operation, you're all right. You know, it's because you don't have to have it on your ear. You know, you're not distracted that way. And you know how it is when you're talking on the phone. That's the only thing in your mind. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing. When you're on that phone, it takes everything away from you. So go to Bluetooth so you don't have to have it in your hand. Now, my particular phone, I have a voice activation on it to where I can say the name. There's a program, and I can say the name, and it'll auto-dial, so I don't have to worry about dialing the numbers, you know. This or that. I can also have it set so that I can push one number and it'll dial that particular person who's in there for that. But I'm not one that uses the phone a lot. I bought my cell phone for emergency use, and that's basically what I use it for. I have the cheapest plan Verizon puts out, and I've had it for 10, 12 years. I like it that way. Like I said, it's for emergencies, and that's what it gets used for. I'd rather see them ban putting makeup on while you're driving down the road or reading, you know, and I've seen many of them. I used to travel I-95 every day, going south or going north from here to work, and, you know, more than once I see the lady with the book on the steering wheel reading it while she's driving, you know, unbelievable. Guy's got the map opened up, you know, reading it while he's driving. Lady's putting her makeup on, you know, doing her hair. Yeah, they can ban all that. Texting, definitely ban the text messaging. Let me, to quote Mr. KY6B, buy a nickel. Yeah, they can ban all that, texting included. Ham radio, no, it's different with your radio. You know, you've got your microphone in your hand talking. You're not looking at your radio. You're not, what can I say, you're not lost in it, let's put it that way. You've already, you know your radio well enough, and I don't know, most of you are probably like me. When you get a new rig, you'll bring it in the house and you learn it before you take it out and put it in the mobile. I do that. I bring it in. I program it. I leave it here. I talk on it in the house for a little bit and I learn it. That way when I get it out in the mobile, I can basically use it without looking at it. I have three radios out there, my CB, of course, for the highway and all. my ICOM 706 and my 2100. And all of them I can operate without even looking at them. You know, I just hit the button as I'm going down the road, which is, I like it that way. That way it doesn't take my concentration off the road. So I say no to banning ham radio, but yes to banning the handheld part of the cell phone without the Bluetooth and the texting and the makeup and doing your hair and all the other stuff. And with that, I will pass it to Mr. KY6V from K4JAK.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. Thanks, guys. KY6V here. Well, apparently my feelings on the subject are just about unanimous with everybody that I've heard here so far, Pete. Hands-off operation of these devices, and I don't care if it's ham radio related or cell phone related. Also, the necessity, you know, the Bluetooth answers this, but you don't want to put a headset on because now you cover up both ears in most cases, although they're one-ear headsets. You want to be able to hear what's going on. You want to hear that guy behind you that's honking, or the guy that's in front of you that's honking, or the guy that's coming at you that's honking. Whatever. So hands-off operation and, you know, Vox control. I saw the information. That's interesting on texting. You know, we could go into an elaborate conversation here about talking about that. Let me buy a nickel. Text, you know, a motion detector on your cell phone. You enter the car starts up, the motion detector sets off the cell phone. Bang. Or it's a law that you have to plug your cell phone into a DC supply that is supplied in the car. And not rely on the battery. It's automatic. It just happens that way. It won't work unless you do. And that contraption technically is engineered so that you can only work it hands-off, Bluetooth or whatever, Vox control. I think texting shouldn't be there even with a Vox. I think that's just going a little bit too far. And talking to the passenger, I don't know. I can hold on a pretty good conversation, John, talk with the passenger and never take my eyes off the road. So that's training, I think. But I think we're all singing the same song, Pete. It should be allowed, but allowed in a proper manner. KY6V, back to net.
Yeah, sounds good. We're unanimous indeed. I should have specified, they haven't banned cell phone use here in Quebec. In Ontario, you have to have a Bluetooth to be able to. If you have your phone up to your ear, that's where you can get a ticket. The tickets are about $300, so it's a good incentive to get yourself a Bluetooth. Bluetooths don't cost that much, so it's a good investment, I think. Like y'all said, it's intelligent use of the technology. Be safe, be aware. And as one of my great heroes once said, be mindful of your surroundings. And who said that? Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. I don't know if you guys have watched the Star Wars movies, but there's a lot of wisdom in Star Wars, believe it or not. So I don't know if Mike said Vox texting. He put that in the text box. Vox texting. Now we're talking. I'm not sure if that was a pun or not, but that was funny. And I've also seen somewhere on the internet, I once found a plan for a Bluetooth headset for a ham radio. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It was I'm not sure if maybe it was on a site called Hackaday, I believe, but I'd have to look that up for you guys. Anyways, a Bluetooth headset for your ham radio. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was great. So, yeah, and here in Montreal, you see all kinds of stuff. People reading maps, books, people putting on makeup. I've seen people shaving. I've seen people eating. I've seen people working on their laptops, you know, right on the seat of their car while they were driving. You see all kinds of crazy things. So be safe and be aware, people. So we're coming up to 2152. I think we'll
I have, oh, there you go. Yazoo VX8 has a Bluetooth. I wasn't aware of that. So there you go. You don't even have to homebrew your own. You can just go out and buy one if you're not handy with the homebrewing thing, coming back to our first question. So if you guys are okay with it, I guess we'll do one last question, and it'll probably run past 10 o'clock a little bit, but I'm having lots of fun. If somebody needs to bow out, that's fine. It's fine. It's certainly not a problem. I'm going to skip the next question because, again, it's similar to some other. I just have too much time to think, and I write questions that are too similar to each other. But I'm going to go on to one question which I thought was really interesting and might be the most challenging for everyone. And I'm also going to change the order. Mike's asked that we change the order so we don't always pick on him first. So we'll flip it backwards. I'll start and we'll go backwards with Gordon, John, and Jack, and then we'll put Mike last. And this question is the classic question. You guys have heard this question before. The question is, if you were stuck on a deserted island and you could only have one record album, and I mean just one, guys. I don't want to say, well, I'd have this one, but if I was in the mood, I'd have that one. No. You can only bring one. The plane's going down. There's only room for the parachute and one album. What album would you take? So, and I guess I'll buy a nickel as being said, and I'll go first. So here we go. Here's my nickel. To bring just one album, it would be Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. I've always been a classic rock fan. I like all kinds of music, of course, from grunge to alternative to underground to jazz to country. I grew up in a house full of country folks, so I'm a big fan of Johnny Cash as well. I love Johnny Cash, but if I had to listen to one album for the rest of my life, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. So with that, we'll pass it over to Gordon, Mr. KY6V. Go ahead.
Oh, that's a tough question, Pete. Doggone your buttons. KY6V here. You know, I think I've mentioned that, I'm involved in and have grown up out of a musically based family. And I just, like an awful lot of different types of music. So, I grew up playing the horn, the trumpet. So Al Hurt and his trumpet playing Dixie stuff would be right up my alley. Louis Armstrong playing and singing the blues. Either Frank Sinatra or Bing Crosby's greatest selections. And now here's one side of me that you guys probably don't know. I would thoroughly enjoy Beethoven's greatest concerts. So I guess it's which one I grabbed when I fell out of the airplane. Over to you, Jack, KY6V, over.
Well, I guess you could super glue them all together and call them one, K4JAK. That's a hard one, though, to pick from. I mean, I like a lot. I grew up, I grew up back in the 60s and 70s. You know, you got, we had Jimi Hendrix, we had Janis Joplin, and Mamas and the Papas, and, I'd probably have to go with Janis Joplin and Big Brother and the Holding Company. But then again, stranded on the island with your favorite album, I mean, all you could do is sit there and look at the cover and maybe use the vinyl to fan the flames on the fire, because I sure didn't see a generator and gasoline fire out so I could play it, huh? K4JAK, we'll give it to you, John, W8RAT.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that was funny. W-8-R-A-T. Y'all throw up a whole bunch of albums that I like, too. The very first one that hit me was Pete's Pink Floyd. The Wall would be a good choice, but there's an album that goes way back, and it's one of their first ones. and not many people even know that it exists. And it is Umaguma. Yes, it's a funky name. But Umaguma, look, oh, he's got it in there. Yep, animals are Umaguma, yeah. yeah, that's one of my favorites for Pink Floyd. It's either that or I'm very partial to Van Halen. I've seen Van Halen 4 times in concert when I was a young man. They were one of my favorites back in the day with the real Van Halen. Not no you know, with David Lee Roth. That was the man there. He was Van Halen, him and Eddie, without a doubt. But yeah, that Umaguma, that's the one that I'd probably have to grab on the way out of the plane there. Kansas is another one that I really like too. But the Pink Floyd struck me right off the bat. And when he said Pink Floyd, I went, oh man, just one of my favorite groups. You know, back in the day, I still listen to them a little bit here and there. I got some CDs in the truck, and I just haven't found an Umaguma CD. I imagine I could probably special request it, but man, that's an oldie. That is one of their very first albums they ever put out. And with that, I think it goes to Michael. Mike, W8RAT.
Well, thanks, John. I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't be grabbing for a CD and a CD player. I'd be grabbing for my iPhone and a solar panel. But I guess that's a different generation. And then I'd have everything I wanted. But if I only got to have one collection of MP3s, probably a little known fact about me is I actually enjoy to sing. whether that be church choir, I was a karaoke host for a number of years, and so I'm big into Broadway shows. I love Broadway and musicals. Never been in one, but thoroughly enjoy them. And I think that if I had to have one collection of MP3s or one CD, if that be the case, I would go with Phantom of the Opera for my the original soundtrack to Phantom of the Opera. Although I guess it's 2 discs technically, so I can't tell you which disc I would want, the first or the second disc, because I like them both a lot. But for me, that that album gives a little bit of everything. You can sing to it. You can have fun singing. It gives a story. True love and devilish love, or however you want to look at it, or unallowed love. And if I had to have one thing, that would be it. I would go to Phantom of the Opera. That's my choice. Even though I listen to a little of everything. Back to you, Pete. V2XPL, KBAZGL.
Yeah, very nice, gentlemen. Very nice. A nice array of musical tastes and choices. That's very cool. I never figured John I kind of figured that Mike, you know, is a Pink Floyd fan. Perhaps I figured he could be. I never figured John would. Although I shouldn't say that. You never know what people listen to. Nobody's got me pegged as a country fan either, coming from Montreal. But I like a lot of country. A little bit of history there. John pronounced it Umaguma. I always said Amagama. I'm not sure what the actual pronunciation is, but it goes all the way back to '69. And apparently the album's title comes from a Cockney slang for the word, the three-letter word that starts with the letter S and finishes with the letter X. So I don't know if that's true, but that is the rumor. But anyways, gentlemen, with that, I'm going to close the official portion of the net because it's 22:02. We're 2 minutes past our closing time for podcast purposes. I'm going to bring it to a close. I'd like to say thank you to our panel. I thought it was very, very interesting, a lot of fun, and I think we'll continue doing this once a month. It certainly seems that we have a lot of interest in heck, round panel discussions are a lot of fun, even if they're directed round panel discussions. So thank you all, 7-3. With that, I'd like to invite everybody to send us some emails, drop us a line at voip@southcars.com. Tell us what you think, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like. Give us heck if you want. Well, I always beg you guys for emails, and no one's sending me any emails. So send me emails and give me heck. I'll be happy just to get an email. With that, I'd like to say, let's see, I'm fumbling through my papers here. Don't forget to check out our podcast, which is available via our website, voip@southcars.com. Look for the South Cars VOIP link on the left of the page. And with that, I'll do one last round of the round table for a closing comments. And we'll bring the net to a close. So we'll go backwards again. We'll start with Gordon, and we'll finish with Mike. So final comments from Mr. KY6V Gordon. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. Hey, I enjoyed it very much. And I'm just tickled that Mike up there was able to join us this evening. We'll have to talk about your singing there, Mike. We might have a little bit in common that we didn't know about. But I didn't know that you were such a young whippersnapper. Holy mackerel, I wish I was there with you. Go ahead, Jack, KY6V to K4JAK.
Oh, thank you, kind sir, K4JAK. Yeah, I'm getting the young ones up there. I'm telling you, Gordon. Well, oh, well, you know how it goes. Maybe we can learn something from them, huh? Pete, I definitely enjoyed it. Had a good time, as always. As always, it's not that I don't like to talk. If I didn't like to talk, I got into the wrong hobby, let's put it that way. One of the other things I can say is all y'all listening there, I hope you enjoyed it. We sure did. Y'all need to jump in. You know, you're welcome to jump into these at any time, you know. That's what these are for. It opens it up for comments from everybody. And that means everybody in the background listening, too. So with that, I'll pass it on to Mr. Rat, W8RAT from K4JAK.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Jack, W8RAT in the group. And, yeah, y'all are always welcome to jump in there. Any comments? I know someone's got something out there they just dying to say. So anytime you want to jump in, yes, sir, Rick, jump on in there and give us some feedback. I do want to say that I have absolutely enjoyed it, Pete. I appreciate it. And anytime you want to sign me up, just consider me signed up there. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to KB8ZGL and Mike. Appreciate you being there, and it was a pleasure meeting you, sir. And we're going to turn it over to you, W8RAT.
KBAZGL. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I don't know so much about an open forum, Pete, as maybe a member interview or learn more about your fellow South Cars members. Certainly has been fun. I hope everybody enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about me and all of us through this. And it was nice to take a break from the real technical stuff and talk about some different topics. You'll have to let us know, Pete, what topics are coming up. I don't know. I apologize. I haven't been to the website recently, but I'm sure there's some good stuff in the pipeline. And thank you guys for being there on the panel tonight. It really has been a lot of fun. enjoy hanging out with you chicken banders, too, if you will. At least that's how I was always told to refer to them. Although I have to tell you, I do carry a CB in the vehicle, or used to. I don't in the new vehicle, but don't have enough room right now. But I can always tune my Icon 706 over there if I want and listen. But yeah, it was nice to hear some things about everybody and get to know you guys a little better for certain. And I realized one thing out of all of this, I think it's time for a new call sign. I think it's time to go vanity and get that extra passed and get a new call issued and try to make it a little easier. You guys all have such nice calls. So mine's always been a tongue twister, and I've kept it for family's sake, but I got permission to change it, so I know there's a good one coming up. I'm not going to tip my hand in case other people are looking at it, but and I'll be around for a while, nothing going on, and feel free if anyone wants to jump in and ask questions. I'm sure we're all here and freely open to share and willing to share. 7-3s. Thanks, Pete. Had a lot of fun. Thanks for the secret invite. Glad it all worked out. V2XPL, KVAZGL.
Well, like I said, again, thanks to you guys. Couldn't have a panel discussion without a panel. And, yeah, we'll do it again regularly. I'll let you guys know. You guys can be the regular panel if you want. I'll give everybody listening one more chance to chime in. This is your chance, the open forum. I haven't had one check-in for this whole open forum except for our five fabulous panelists. So I'd like to have somebody pipe in. Come on aboard. We're still talking. It's 10:08 here in the East. And let's see what you guys have to say. Anybody for the open forum for final comments and thoughts? Come on aboard now. Now's your chance. V2XPL Montreal, TNT open forum. Come on aboard.
N3MUI.
Excellent. N3MUI. We have a winner. Come on aboard. Give us your comments.
Good evening, everyone. I couldn't let you pass without having a single check in, and I just wanted to throw a couple of comments in. As long as we all ended up on the same island with that mix of albums, I'd be real happy with the mix of music that I like. And I absolutely enjoyed Barbershop Singing, so maybe Gordon, Mike, and I and one other can get together and we can try to form a quartet here. But that's about all I had to add. I totally agreed with the cell phone use. I think that's something that's got to be taken with careful consideration. And with that, I'll turn it back. 73 to everybody. N3MUI.
HQU.
Oh, very good. Thanks for the comments, Craig. Very appreciative that you chimed in there. Yeah, it'd be cool if we all ended up on the same island. We'd have a lot of fun, wouldn't we? Come on aboard, David. Let's hear what you have to say. Thanks for chiming in.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot. This is KD8HQU. I got kind of fascinated here listening to this talk of which album would you take. I think the eclectic mix here would make it one heck of a party on that island. Unfortunately, Part 97 prohibits playing music over the air, so we'd have to be on an island well away from the FCC. But the reference to Pink Floyd was an excellent one, and that is exactly the album I would take, with Division Bell being a close second. Another one of my favorite Pink Floyds. And then someone chimed in with Janis Joplin, and I would have to support that one, especially the album Pearl. And then my all-time favorite group, you know, I wouldn't rank these albums up with the first two, but anything by the Little Old Band from Texas. You know, those guys are just great. I have every album they've ever made, including a vinyl copy of their very first album. So that's a prized possession of mine. But again, I think we'd have a heck of a party on that island. This is KD8HQU. Great net tonight. Thanks for picking me up.
Yeah, thanks for being there, David. We appreciate it. Yeah, indeed. Pink Floyd's a big big winner tonight. Eh? A lot of Pink Floyd fans out there. And they're very eclectic just on their own, and they have a wide variety of styles. And, well, not really styles. They always have the Pink Floyd sound, but they have a
very wide audience. I've seen them. I've had the chance of seeing them in concert. I've seen the Division Bell when they came to Montreal, which is a fabulous concert. And, you know, their concerts, there's very, very young people and very old people. So they go across many, many generations. So, yeah, indeed, very cool. Agree with Joplin, of course. There's so much good music out there. And that's why I told everybody you can only pick one album or else we'd be sitting here. We could just have a whole net on music and maybe we'll do that. And as for Part 97, I don't have Part 97 here in Canada, so I could probably play music all I want. But no, that's not true. We have our equivalent to Part 97. We're not supposed to play music either. And sometimes I think I'm borderline with some of these little things that I play there. But anyways, that's just me, and I'm willing to take my chances. The good part about the our equivalent to the FCC, which is Industry Canada, is they don't have a budget to run after us. Back in the day when I was first licensed, they had people who would actually monitor, licensed hams who worked for Industry Canada, who would monitor the frequencies and make sure that everybody was behaving and issue fines and tickets. But, you know, as many other things, budgets have been cut back and nobody watches the ham bands anymore. So some people are sometimes less than desirable, but, you know, that's not only in ham radio, that's in all groups. So, and that's just the way it goes. And we've become a self-policing outfit. So let's keep going. Let's see if anybody else wants to chime in on any of the subjects we've talked about tonight. Let's open up the open forum and keep it going for a bit longer if we want. V2XPL in Montreal, come on aboard. Anybody who wants to check in. All right, this will be your last chance. Last call for alcohol. Anybody who wants to check in to the TNT open forum with thoughts, comments, concerns, on anything we've talked about, or if you want to let us know what your favorite album is, come on aboard. All right, we'll bring the official part of the net to a close, and maybe we'll just keep chatting amongst ourselves. With that, again, I'd like to thank our panelists. A great panel. You guys are welcome aboard most any time. And I must admit, I've got a much higher degree of... I'm a bigger fan of Mike's than I was at the beginning of the show, and I've looked up his call sign on Cura Zed. He's got thousands of people have looked him up, 4,787 lookups so far. And if you look at his picture, you'll see a picture of a young man in some sort of graduation. He was graduating from one of his degrees, I'm assuming, next to a statue probably at his university, and Mike can come back and explain. But I figured this picture was taken years and years and years ago. Again, I don't keep meaning to harp on this, but you've got a lot of wisdom and knowledge for a young man, and I have a lot of respect for that. So when was that picture taken, Mike, if you don't mind, and where is that? Over to you, KB8ZGL from V2XPL.
Thanks, Pete. KBAZGL. Well, not to start a war, but that's the, in my opinion, best mascot in the Big Ten. That would be Sparty. That is one of my all-time favorite pictures. Sparty is the Michigan State University mascot, and that is the Sparty statue, although it's been changed since that picture was taken. They moved it around and took the original down and put one that wasn't corroding to the weather quite so bad in place. But those are some of my best memories. And in amateur radio, to tie it to radio, I was the president at Michigan State University at the Amateur Radio Club for my junior and senior year, which is the call sign W8SH Whiskey 8 Sugar Hotel and W8MSU Whiskey 8 Mike Sugar Uniform. And those are some good times. And one of your questions I was hoping we would get into about how to bring more youth into the hobby. I'm still pretty active with that club and mentoring there. But that picture was taken in 2003. Let me buy a nickel to use the coin phrase. And that was taken following my master's graduation ceremony from Michigan State University. I graduated with my master's in 2003, started in the program in 2002. So it's a Master's of Information Technology Management, which was out of our broadcasting and telecom school. So a little tie to Gordon for broadcasting. And I worked in a lot of the broadcasting stuff at Michigan State. But, yep, 2003, and boy, it does time fly. It hardly feels like I've been out of school for 6 years, but we might be back shortly. I've been invited to do a study in the telecommunications field and write a doctoral thesis on some stuff that's of interest to me, and if I can work it around and take night class and work it around my day job, we might get another picture with Sparty yet. So there you go. A little more information, probably, than anybody wanted to know. Back to you, Pete, V2XPL, KBAZGO.
Ah, very good. Thanks for the information, indeed. Yeah, university is a good time, isn't it? Your university is studying by choice. You choose to be there. You're studying what you want to study. The camaraderie and the friendships that come from people you meet from all around the country, all around the world. And, yeah, there's nothing like college football. I know it's huge in the States. I mean, it's nothing like that here in Canada. I mean, you guys get, like, you know, stadiums full of with hundreds of thousands of people at your college games. If we get, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 at ours, it's a big game. I went to McGill myself, graduated in 88, have huge fond memories from that, a lot of good times. I love the McGill Red Men. I went to all the games, painted my face red, wore the red coveralls, hung out there all the time. So yeah, a lot of fond memories, and you'll find that time only seems to go faster the older you get. And I'm not sure if you have any kids or not, Mike, but once you have kids, well, that's it. You don't see time go by anymore. It just flies by. But that's the way it goes. And just so you know, Mike, since you're the newest panelist, I keep the questions that we didn't get to, and they'll be at the top of the list next time around. And I'm huge on that too, trying to attract the youth into our hobby. I've been involved with many youth movements over the years, mostly scouting here in Canada, very close to my heart, and scouting has a lot of ties to ham radio, which is a lot of fun too. Of course, you guys all know about Jamboree on the Air, so we'll get to that next time around. Let me buy a nickel, to use the popular expression that we've popularized tonight. I think that's a word, popularized. Anyhow, let me do that now. And with that, I'll say 7-3 to all. Don't forget to check out our website, www.voip.com. Download the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog. All advertising is good. So we'll see you guys next week for another Thursday night thematic open forum, next Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And I guess that's changed in Zulu. So since we've gone back, does that make it? Somebody help me out here. What time Zulu is the open forum now?
01:30 Zulu, sir.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I just didn't dare. I didn't dare say it. I'm a little lacking in confidence when it comes to the quick mathematical skills. However, I'm usually pretty good at math, but the whole time thing is a mystery to me. Another question on there, do we do away with daylight savings? We'll discuss that next time around. So thanks to all of our listeners, thanks to our panelists, and thanks to Marconi for giving us the possibility to all be talking to each other. With that, I'll say good night to everybody, and don't forget to come back next week and check in on all of our other nets, of course, the next one being the Saturday Connection, Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern. So good night, everybody. We'll chat to you soon. Oh, and I almost forgot. The cows have come home. Good night, everyone.